It's great to have you with me again today, and as we make our way through the middle of the week, I want you to know that I pray for you. Each day I'm mindful of you, and I'm glad we get to spend a little time together each weekday here on God Is. Remember, I would like to hear from you. My email address is mark@markaswallow.com, or you can jump on our social sites, God Is, W-E-Z-E, on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. God Is, W-E-Z-E, on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. I hope to meet you there. Yesterday, I was speaking with you about three kinds of darkness that are common in the lives of people today. We talked about the darkness of depression, the darkness of the demons, and the darkness of disobedience. All three of these are bad news. Living life in the darkness means that we stumble and fall. In John chapter 11 and verse 10, Jesus said, "But if anyone walks in the night, he stumbles, because the light is not in him." And living in the darkness means we're overtaken by the darkness. We are lost. In John chapter 12 and verse 35, Jesus said to them, "For a little while longer the light is among you. Walk while you have the light, so that the darkness will not overtake you. He who walks in the darkness does not know where he goes." Recently, my wife and I were traveling in Japan. By the way, if you've not yet been to Japan, and if you are able, I encourage you to visit. We were in a hotel room, and I got up in the middle of the night to use the bathroom, and instead of taking my phone with me so I could shed a little light on the journey, I set out in the pitch-black darkness. I made it okay over to the bathroom, but on the way back, bang! My toes caught on the edge of my suitcase, and I went flying headfirst. Now, no big injuries, and my wife, Sleeping Beauty, never woke up, but that big toe of mine was sore for days. Stumbling around in the darkness is dangerous. It can cause great pain and hurt. Are you stumbling in the darkness of life today? What I want to do now is take you over to Luke's Gospel. At the start of the New Testament, there are four Gospels: Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We are committed to John this month. We are focused this week on John chapter 1 and verses 4 and 5. But by reading the other Gospels, we gain another perspective on Jesus, and I think the following encounter between Jesus and a boy who is demon-possessed will help us as we think about the darkness of depression, the darkness of the demons, and the darkness of disobedience. You know, if we want to know how great the light Jesus is, then we often have to know how evil the darkness is. If you want to know how great the light of Jesus is, then you have to know how evil the darkness is. And many of you do know how the darkness can get very dark. How did Jesus use his light to radically change the life of a boy who was completely overcome with the darkness of the demons? This true story deals with demon possession, but I believe we will find application also to depression and disobedience herein. Come along with me then to Luke chapter 9, verses 37 to 43. Let me read this to you. Luke chapter 9, verses 37 to 43. On the next day, when they came down from the mountain, a large crowd met Jesus. And a man from the crowd shouted, saying, "Teacher, I beg you to look at my son, for he is my only boy." And a spirit seizes him, and he suddenly screams, and it throws him into a convulsion with foaming at the mouth, and only with difficulty does it leave him, mauling him as it leaves. "I begged your disciples to cast it out, and they could not." And Jesus answered and said, "You unbelieving and perverted generation, how long shall I be with you and put up with you? Bring your son here." While he was still approaching, the demon slammed him to the ground and threw him into a convulsion. But Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit and healed the boy and gave him back to his father. And they were all amazed at the greatness of God. This is Luke chapter 9, verses 37 through 43. There's much to say about this true story, but today I want you to focus first on the effects of darkness on the boy's life. In this case, the darkness is of the demons. He is possessed. His body has been infiltrated by Satan's demons. Let me read again verses 39 and 42. Luke chapter 9, verses 39 and 42. And a spirit seizes him, and he suddenly screams. And it throws him into a convulsion with foaming at the mouth, and only with difficulty does it leave him, mauling him as it leaves. While he was still approaching, the demon slammed him to the ground and threw him into a convulsion. This boy is obviously hopeless, and he's just a boy. Imagine what his future life will be like if he continues to be possessed by the demons. The effects of darkness on this boy's life are devastating to him and his father. But second, notice how Jesus responds to the father's request. In verse 41, Jesus said, "Bring your son here." And then verse 42 tells us what Jesus, the light of the world, did. But Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit and healed the boy and gave him back to his father. The light spoke into the darkness, and the boy was healed. The demons were gone. And so we see the effects of darkness on the boy's life and the response of Jesus to the father's request. And now third, notice the reaction of the crowd. Look at verse 43. Luke 9, 43, "And they were all amazed at the greatness of God." Let me read this again. "And they were all amazed at the greatness of God." Jesus is God. And so when Jesus, the light, shines in the darkness, the crowd is amazed at the greatness of God. God, the God of the Bible, Jesus who is God. The crowd will not be amazed by false gods. Initially, perhaps, but there is no permanent amazement. There is no God but Jesus who is God. None of the false gods of this world exist. Only Jesus has the power. Only Jesus is the light of the world. Only Jesus can set you free from the darkness of the demons. Jesus will amaze you. Just in these few verses, we see the effects of darkness on the boy's life and the response of Jesus to the father's request. And now third, the reaction of the crowd. But you might wonder, how does this story relate to the two other types of darkness under discussion today? The darkness of depression and the darkness of disobedience. I am not saying that you are demon-possessed if you have depression or if you're disobedient to God. Please hear me clearly on this. Listen, I am not saying you are demon-possessed if you have depression or if you're disobedient to God. However, I do know this. The Bible teaches that the demons, and principally Satan himself, rejoice and are very well pleased when we are depressed and when we disobey God. This is how Satan wants us to live. He wants us depressed. He wants us disobedient to God. Satan traps us in darkness and holds us there as captives. Let's take, for example, the darkness of disobedience. The more we disobey God, the more trapped we become. Consider Jesus' words in John chapter 3 and verses 19 through 21. "This is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and men love the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds were evil. For everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come to the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed." This is so true, isn't it? People experiencing the darkness of disobedience love the darkness more than the light. That is why they keep on sinning. If you continue to do evil, to sin, to disobey God, then you will not come to the light because you fear that what you have done in the darkness will be exposed. You'll be shamed. And so you continue to disobey in secret, in darkness. Sinners love darkness. But remember John 3, verse 21. "But he who practices the truth comes to the light so that his deeds may be manifested as having been wrought in God. There is good news. If you will be willing to come to Jesus, who is the light, then he will rescue you from your sin. He will forgive you and make your deeds and actions ones of obedience to God. As Matthew chapter 3 and verse 8 says, you will bear fruit in keeping with repentance. The more you disobey God, the more trapped in darkness you will be. But the more you come to the light, Jesus, the more you will be set free to live in the light. You do not have to live in the darkness of disobedience. This is what Jesus teaches. This is who Jesus is to us. It's the same with the darkness of depression. Now, I am not a psychologist or a psychiatrist, so I cannot speak professionally of depression. But what I can do is tell you this. If you're battling depression without Jesus, I urge you today to contact me. I'd like to offer you real hope. If you would, just send me a brief email and I'll respond with some ideas of how Jesus can meet you in the darkness of depression. Just write to me, mark@markaswallow.com. I promise to respond. That's mark@markaswallow.com. mark@markaswallow.com. I genuinely would love to hear from you today so that I can share more with you and pray for you. And then, for all of you, please join me again tomorrow, for God is...